You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave your itsy bitsy cutesy wootsy whittle message after the beep.
Hi, Flora. It's 2:20 a.m. I'm feeding my one-month-old baby, and I need to know why we baby talk. Seems like it would make more sense to talk to them in a regular voice than a goo goo gaga voice. But I keep talking to my stinky winky and making funny faces at him. Let me know why we baby talk. Thanks. It's Ben again. It's now 3:10 a.m. I was curious to know, in addition to why we baby talk, if it's a universal thing, do people in all languages baby talk?
Hello?
Rise and shine, Ben. It's Jorge from ELT.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Still tired.
Is that your actual tired voice?
I was just so exhausted and was probably up, 3 hours before and 3 hours after that. Just wondering why we talk in this silly, stupid sounding voice to babies.
I like to imagine that you actually left like hundreds of questions for us, but these were the only two times that you managed to actually dial the right number. Like someone at 888 ring ELZ is dealing with a ton of Sleepy Ben questions.
Likely so.
Okay, Ben. So in your voicemail to us, do you remember you were muttering something about your stinky winky?
I guess I do remember that. Stinky winky poo poo, maybe. That's our boy.
Like winky or poo poo, like goo goo, like none of these things make sense. And Corey, that's the other thing. Like, I hated hearing people baby talking, even to their kids, to their dogs, just repulsive. And even worse, talking to their significant other, it's like, get me out of the room.
But then you became a parent. Did that change things?
It did change pretty abruptly. Like, I didn't baby talk to my nieces and nephews, but I baby talked to my own kid.
Somebody drops a little nibbling in your lap, and you're just like, hello, Charles.
Yeah.
Would you like some raisins?
Exactly.
Can I hear a sample of your baby talk, like just a little nibble?
Okay, stinky winky, what are you going to do today? Are we going to go to the park? Are we going to eat some quesadillas?
I can't.
How do you feel when you hear yourself doing it?
I'm repulsed. Like, I'm so annoyed.
All right, so what do you want to know about how parents talk to babies?
Where does it come from? Why are we doing it? And then, is it universal? Like, does baby gibberish sound the same in other languages? I want to know, Jorge, what is the saga about the goo goo gaga? Oh,
that was perfect.
Why is it that when babies are new, we always go goo goo?
You cannot see the tears of joy.
And then when adults do the baby talk, why is it that I want to take a walk? I'm out. That's all I've got.
I'm just sitting here in the studio going... Just clapping my hands with a big smile on my face. Okay, Ben, we found someone who can answer your questions. He's a connoisseur of the coochie coo.
I think that would be fair. I kind of can't resist myself, not just with babies, but also talking to cats and dogs.
You're going to have to forgive him. That is baby talk decoder Cody Moser. He studies music and language evolution.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Cody.
Cody led a huge global study that rocked the baby talk world.
Cody, what do you know?
We have this kind of acoustic style of talking to infants. We call it parentese.
Did you say parentees?
Yeah.
I have not heard that term.
That's what googoologists call baby talk.
Huh.
People have been studying parentees for more than 40 years, and yet there's still a huge gap in the research.
For a long time, a lot of our studies based on infant-directed speech were only really from these English-speaking regions. And so people would say, you know, people must do this everywhere. And so it was important to look at all these different places to make sure whether or not that's true.
So Cody and his team took on a huge project, a global study to figure out if baby talk is universal. As part of that study, they collaborated with anthropologists across six continents. And they recorded adults talking to babies and adults talking to other adults in 18 different languages.
Oh, wow.
And so a study like this is totally unprecedented because they didn't just hit the big cities. They surveyed people living in the remotest places on Earth as well. And they recorded languages spoken by millions of people and languages spoken by just a handful.
Languages like Mandarin Chinese, English, Polish, Hadza, which is a language isolate spoken by the Hadza tribe in Tanzania. We had them collect data from Amazonia, so languages like Achuar and Sapara, Quechua.
Oh, wow.
And here's what Cody was trying to figure out.
When people talk to their babies around the world, what does it sound like? And are there some similar acoustic traits?
Or, in other words, does everybody in the world stinky their winkies?
That's the question I'm trying to answer myself.
And then there was kind of a second part to the study, which is when people hear baby talk from different places around the world, are they able to recognize that it's for babies versus for adults?
That's fascinating.
So I'm going to play you some of the recordings that Cody's team collected to see if you can pick out whether they're talking to babies or adults.
Okay.
So these first two recordings were collected in Beijing. They're in Mandarin. Here's the first one. And here's the next one.
Yeah, the first one was definitely had to have been talking to a baby or a dog or a significant other.
So why do you say that? What did you hear?
Even though I don't know any Mandarin, the words seemed like more drawn out or stretched out. Like longer words and more flowy type language. Was I wrong?
You were exactly right.
Okay, good.
Okay, I'm going to play you two more recordings. These were collected in Tanzania. They're in Hadza. And then here's the next.
Ooh, that one seems a little harder. Maybe the second one was baby talk?
Yeah. Why do you say that?
It's just like a feeling. I don't know what the scientific, like, is it tone or is it pace or what? It just sounds kind of like they're talking to a child.
Yeah, Cody decoded it like this.
In the infant-directed version, you kind of hear this jumpiness that happens, this kind of variability as they're increasing their pitch and trying to get the attention of the infant.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Okay. The next one comes from Wellington, New Zealand.
Jocelyn. It's Wellington. Jocelyn.
And here's the next one.
So later on today, we are heading to town to sign our wills, which is the first will I've ever made. Then we're having lunch with Dad in town somewhere.
What do you think?
Pretty sure the one singing is talking to a baby.
Yeah, and that's something that we found in our study. As you speak to infants, your speech tends to become more song-like than when you're speaking to adults.
It's pretty clear which ones are talking to babies, even though I don't speak any of these languages.
Yeah, there's something there that you can totally detect. And Cody wanted to see if other people, like from around the world, from different cultures, could suss it out too.
Okay.
So he and his team posted the recordings online, and more than 50,000 people from 187 countries listened to them and then did what you just did.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. And how did people score?
Turned out people can pretty accurately classify whether or not something is being spoken to a baby or if it's being spoken to an adult.
So basically, people know baby talk when they hear it.
That's so cool.
But the question is, like, what was it about speech that clued people in? Like, what are people hearing? So the team took a few baby steps further and used software to analyze the samples, looking at a whole bunch of sound features like pitch, intensity, roughness, and rhythm.
And we found that when they speak to their infants, they tend to do so in similar ways. So they speak with a higher pitch.
Like in this example from Finland.
Yep, I believe it.
Another baby talk feature has to do with how we say our and sometimes why.
So when you're talking to a baby, you do a lot of this, and there's kind of jumping around and moving up and down. You can kind of hear the vowels get exaggerated.
Yep, makes sense.
And then the third main feature that distinguishes baby talk from adult talk is something that experts call roughness, and that I call Al Pacino on a Coke binge. You know, because adult on adult talk is kind of raspy.
For example, you'll hear kind of a scratchy aspect to it. Like, I'll be like, hey, kid, you want to buy some cigarettes? That's a pretty rough version of speech. Versus when you speak to an infant, you'll try and be more clear.
Hey, kid, you want to buy some cigarettes?
Hey, kid, you want to buy some cigarettes?
That sounds much better when you put it that way.
So Cody's research shows that parenting changes the way people talk all over the world. So why the fuckity-wuckity-woo do we do it? Turns out, no one knows for sure. But Cody toddled through the theories for us. The first one has to do with comprehension.
When you're speaking to a baby, you're doing something very different from when you're speaking to an adult. So in this conversation that you and I are having right now, I'm trying to get out as much information that you can understand as possible. And so things like roughness and the clarity of my voice are important, but only to the extent that you can understand what I'm saying. Versus when you're speaking to an infant, and this might be the same case, say, when you're talking to a cat or a dog, you're trying to get a different kind of information across that's separate from the linguistic content.
Oh, so we were just trying to get them the sounds?
Right. You're not using words to convey meaning or ideas. You're using words to deliver emotional insight.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, you know, like my Snoopy Poopy Pocosnoco means I love you or you're safe.
Yeah, I guess that's true because when I was asking him what he wanted for lunch, like I'm not expecting a response like, oh, I want a turkey sandwich. It's like, what do you want for lunch? Well, I'm making you a turkey sandwich. I'm doing it because I love you.
Right. So that's one theory. Another theory is that higher pitch and a clearer tone can make you sound less threatening.
Huh.
But there's one other idea about why we goo and why we gah and why we wink their stinks. And that's just that babies like it. Studies have shown that babies pay more attention when you're speaking in a cutesy-wootsy voice.
A lot of the features, they're attention-grabbing. They have these kind of high-pitch alerting components, things that kind of raise arousal in the infant.
Huh. So if I'm doing this high-pitch, weird, stinky-winky talk, then they're more interested and alert to it?
Right, exactly.
Wow. That's amazing. And maybe that's subconsciously why we do it so much when they're young, because we know that they're going to react to it.
Right.
The other fascinating thing to me is I wasn't taught how to baby talk. Like, it naturally came to me, even after being repulsed by it for years. We were communicating, I guess, in a weird way that wasn't completely weird, if it's universal.
Right, exactly. So that's what we know. It seems to be universal in humans. But we're not the only animals on the planet with teensy-weensy little puke sprinklers to take care of.
Yeah, that's true. Are deer baby talking their fawns? Or
Are horses baby talking their foals?
Exactly. Do any other creatures get cutesy with their kitties? Ay, te adoro con sus cachorros.
Are dogs barking or bow-wow-wow-barking?
All right, do rabbits and crocodiles.
Oh, my God. I don't know what sound does. Are rabbits... Or are they...
All right, so I don't know baby shit about rabbits, but I know a little bit about this animal. That's after the break. So, Ben, we have echolocated an expert who is hung up on whether animals baby talk. Guano, take a guess what she studies? I'll give you one at bat.
I'm going to guess bats.
I've been studying bats for over a decade now throughout my whole academic career, and I just love them a lot.
That's Miriam Canonshield.
Hi, Miriam.
Hi, Ben. It's great that you asked about baby chat.
Miriam's interested in animal communication, and she figured captured vampires are a good species to study because bats are big yakkers.
They're really social and they're long-lived and they're intelligent, so they have stuff to talk about. There is territorial disputes to be settled between males, and there is mating and courtship, and they have calls to facilitate group foraging. And for instance, there is one neotropical species that plays a Marco Polo kind of game when they try to find new roosts.
Miriam and her colleagues study a specific bat. It's called the greater sack-winged bat. Here, I'll send you a picture. And we'll put it on Instagram at ELT Show as well. Describe it for me.
It's dark in color, almost black.
Tiny, brown, furry thing.
Kind of with some light brown streaks on it.
Like two little lightning bolts. Cute, fluffy ears and a tiny nose. And it's just very adorable.
Yeah, I can see that. It's not repulsive. like an adult baby talking to another an adult.
So Miriam's pretty tight with these bats. She studies wild colonies in tropical rainforests, mostly in Costa Rica and Panama.
We know all our bats on an individual basis. We go year after year and we spend several months with the bats in the field and we just sit with them all day, basically.
Oh, wow.
And once the bats have gotten used to Miriam hanging around, she records what they're saying.
So we use really directional microphones, and then it's like a little computer game. You basically aim at the right bat.
That's like the loveliest kind of bat hunting.
It totally is. I still suck at computer games, but I'm very good at aiming at bats in a friendly acoustic way.
And one of the questions that Miriam and her team took aim at was, do bats use baby talk like humans do?
We thought, hey, why not try to find out if mothers do something with their tone of voice, really, when they address their pups.
So Miriam and her team pointed their mics on mother-baby pairs and started listening in. And here's what they found.
Each of the mothers that we tested changed her voice, her timbre, if you want, in a very predictive and similar way when she was addressing her pup in comparison to when she was addressing adults. So the pups, I think, would certainly know if this is directed at them or at someone else.
No way.
Would you like to hear some bat baby talk?
Yeah. Sounds like a bat squeaking.
Well, if you don't listen to bat signals all day, it's hard to make out. But I guarantee baby bats go batshit for it.
Was it the same, like, tone and pitch and rhythm and roughness things that people do?
It is a different speed. It's slightly slower. It is a different pitch. But in humans, we have higher pitch when we talk to infants, and the bats actually have lower pitch.
So a bat would sound like, hello, my little stinky winky.
Oh, my gosh.
So we don't know if this is like a warmer or more friendlier tone, because obviously we don't know what warm and friendly means to like to a bat, how it would sound. So that's coming back to the really philosophical question, how is it to be a bat, I guess? And we don't know, and we probably will never know.
Right, because there's no Google Translate for bat speech to humans.
I wish there was. Amazing. Yeah, but there isn't.
All right, Ben. Now that you know that humans across the world do baby talk and bats do baby talk, does that make you think about it differently?
Yeah, it's like it's not stupid. It's natural and something that I guess I'm supposed to be doing. If other species are doing it, then maybe it's a positive thing.
Yeah, and it seems that babies take comfort in it.
Yeah, and if I was a baby human, then I would be probably pretty pissed off if they're just talking about the microwave instructions or the stock market. I'd be like, hey, what about me? If you're a baby, I imagine you're just looking for any clue that somebody cares about you.
They're just these like freaked out little pods, you know?
Yeah, they're confused in this brand new world. Let me at least just make them comfortable by, you know, talking to my stinky winky poo-poo. If that's what it takes, I'll give it to them.
If you have a question you can't get out of your head, maybe it's about bats or babbling. Or do bats babble? Well, you know where to find us. 833-RING-ELT. And for you bats in the audience, that number is...
This episode was produced by Carla Javier, Stephanie Werner, Adley Robinson, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Littman, with help from Doug Barron. Our editors are Jorge Just and Caitlin Kenny. Nicole Pasulka is our fact checker. Scored by Dara Hirsch, Emma Munger, Catherine Anderson, and Bobby Lord. Mixed by Dara Hirsch. Every Little Thing is a Gimlet production and a Spotify original podcast. Does the crocodile say chomp, 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 or womp, womp, womp? Goodbye.